I mean, anybody with eyes knows that was a catch. That can hear me, Chris decided to experiment with the Blog Talk account, and now we can't hear him. So apparently we're going to roll with this without him, I guess. He's texting me right now. I'm going to let him know I can't hear him, and he's an idiot, and then maybe something will get fixed. Maybe not. I gotta see here. I know we had a good show planned. I know we were talking about Joseph Randall starting nod over Darren McFadden. I know we were talking about a possible sophomore slump in the mix for the O-line. As far as what else do we got? You know, favorite slash worst memories from the Cowboys. You know, I mean, obviously for me, I was definitely afraid of the, you know, all those late interceptions by Romo. And then pretty much, I don't know, you know, anytime they were one and done. So to keep rolling with it, I personally don't know what's going on with Darren McFadden. I'm a little worried. I think he deserves that shot at the first, you know, at first string. I just don't get why Darren McFadden can't beat out Joseph Randall. Now I understand that a lot of the BS going on is, well, okay, Joseph Randall, he shoplifted cologne and underwear, and he doesn't look good on paper. Hello?
Mr. Bork, my friend, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, beautiful. Yes. There was a small connection issue, so if anybody that was listening, it sounded a little clunky in the beginning because I was just kind of like, check, one, two, hey. We do apologize for that. I don't know what the heck happened, but it's technology in 2015. So we're going to try to make the most of it best we can. Dustin, I was going to say, and I'll let you finish. I'll do my best Kanye West and let you finish in a minute. I was going to say, though, we do have a huge show today with training camp getting closer, right around the corner starting next week. But I was going to say, I was watching Family Guy this morning, and Dez Bryant has got to feel with this new contract. This is how he's got to feel.
Victory is mine!
Yes.
And I say that because not only does he have a big bank account now, but Dez Bryant also is a little bit more like Calvin Johnson than perhaps we thought. And I say that because Calvin Johnson had an entire rule in the rule book changed because of him. Well, now so did Dez Bryant as the football move rule has been since taken out. The NFL is altering this decision. So if that same exact play happens again this season, it will be a catch. So again, Dez Bryant with the big victory. But I will let you finish with what you were going on here, and as I get acclimated.
I mean, all I was trying to do was figure out what the topics were, because I always just sit back and listen to you roll into different topics. But then when
you let me
mess around with everything today, and I had to out of nowhere pull up the radio broadcast and look and see what the agenda was, all I could remember was Randall over McFadden and then the O-line sophomore slump. So I had to figure out that we were talking about Byron Jones. And I had to figure out best and worst memories. So once I figured that all out, I started on like a little rant about how it's ridiculous that McFadden can't even beat out Joseph Randall for the starting running back job.
Well, I understand I understand it.
I mean, I understand it if they're saying, okay, he's been with the team longer, he knows the plays, but raw talent, really? You're going to tell me a guy who's supposed to be like just a freak speed-wise, Darren McFadden, the guy is supposed to be just lightning speed. And I understand, yeah, he's injury prone, whatever, but pure ability and raw talent, I thought this was McFadden's job, period. I didn't think anybody stood a chance at challenging him for a first string, you know, main carry shot. I figured if they were going to split the carries, it was basically to preserve McFadden's health. I didn't think it was going to be because he didn't earn it. It sounds more like Randall's the better running back in camp, and they're just rolling with Randall because he's the better player, and that blows me away. And now Chris is gone again. I don't know. I don't know if we're just going to do the show without him today or what's going on, but I'm going to stop reading my messenger, because this is what happens is I read my messenger and then I lose my train of thought. So I'm going to type him, "You suck," and figure it out. So "you suck, figure it out." And hopefully he calls back in, because I just, I don't know. This is what, the second time this has happened to us. Every time he decides to mess with something goes wrong. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it, dumbass. But to stick with that, like, seriously, Darren McFadden, you can't beat out Joseph Randall, okay? So what's the main problem with Joseph Randall? We don't really know. We know he has explosive ability. We know that we saw him break off a few big runs the other, you know, last season. So, yeah, I mean, you know, his ability's there. As far as his age, I'll have to look him up here. Joseph Randall, I mean, I think he's, what, a six-year vet? Same thing with McFadden. I don't think Joseph Randall. No, all right, never mind. He's only 23. Okay, so, I mean, yeah. The kid's got, you know, he's tall-up, so he's a pick out of the 2013 draft. So we're talking second year, you know, he's heading into his third year. So I'm almost on the side of let's roll with the kid, because I like Darren McFadden because of his proven track record, right? So we know what he did in Oakland. We know what he didn't do in Oakland. We know he was injured. We know he had a problem with staying on the field. So I guess. Maybe, I don't know, I'm holding on to one good year of fantasy football I had with him, and that's my sentimental value with Darren McFadden. You know, like, maybe we just got to let it go. Maybe we just got to drop this, and we just got to say, all right, guy, your time in this league is done. You know, we see it happen with a lot of players nowadays. There are some guys that maybe we're holding on to one or two years of great production when they just fall off, but people, you know, players, coaches, they just can't let it go. They can't let go of those two good years, and they keep giving, you know, the benefit of the doubt to these guys when they shouldn't. So maybe it is time for Darren McFadden to just realize it's done, it's over. So I don't know. Joseph Randall, I haven't seen enough of him. I guess this is that year that he comes into his own. Maybe this is that year that he can finally make a name for himself. Maybe he can become the next DeMarco Murray, you know, because people, yeah, Murray's a Razorback, right? He came out, he had some hype behind him. He he was well known for what he did in college, but he also had a major injury, if I remember correctly. And oh, hey, Chris, you back again, bud?
Yeah, I think so, man. I don't know what the heck is going on.
I'm going to tell you what. I'm hosting the show right now, so once I'm done talking about Joseph Randall, I'll give you some time, and maybe you can chime in before you hang up again. So what I was saying is maybe Joseph Randall become the next DeMarco Murray. Maybe he is young enough. I just looked up, just to give you a heads up, I looked up online how old Randall is. I thought he was like a fourth, fifth-year guy. I didn't realize he's only a two-year guy. He's still young. He's 23. He was drafted in 2013. So we're talking, he does have some youth behind him. I thought McFadden was the youngest, youngest guy in the backfield who had the most potential, but clearly I was wrong there. So, and what I was saying is maybe it's time to finally just cut bait with McFadden and realize, you know, one good year in Oakland and all those other years that were, you know, hampered by injury. Maybe it's just time to just say, you know, you had your time. It didn't work out. Thank you for your services. And we got to move on. Maybe this Randall kid is going to be the next DeMarco Murray. And then what I was saying was DeMarco Murray, he came into the league. He had a major injury in college. A lot of people had some doubts about him. And he put in the time and the work. He almost waited, I think, a year until he was able to just jump onto the scene and finally start making a difference. So maybe this is the whole DeMarco Murray scenario all over again. Maybe Randall had to put in his time, and now he's just going to step in. Because, like I was saying when you were gone, he did break off some crazy runs last year for touchdowns, like 30 yards, 40 yards. He showed that he does have speed. So
he did.
Maybe he
did.
Has the potential. Maybe he does have the potential to take over and just show us that we're all wrong about him, or at least me, because I didn't think he could be the guy personally. I don't know what you
think.
Go ahead.
Well, I didn't think he could be the guy mentally. As I said a couple of shows ago, I thought with that stupid arrest at the department store for the boxers in Cologne that, you know, if he's going to be doing that kind of stuff off the field, maybe he doesn't have the mental capacity to lead this team like a running back, like an Emmitt Smith or like a DeMarco Murray or like one of those big time running backs we've had was able to do. However, I do understand.
And he's gone. It's like a new game we should play. We should play. See how long he can talk until he drops the call. I don't know what his deal is. He said that somehow he had to like upgrade the Blog Talk account to a I don't know, like a bigger, crazier account. And it's great because I'm calling. So the way this works, just to give you a behind the scenes, if you're listening, I have a studio at home. I call in with Skype. We call into the main line, the Blog Talk line, and he runs the switchboard. So he runs the main interface of Blog Talk, and I usually call in, and you know, we do the countdown like 10 minutes before the show, and he lets me know, all right, cool, this is what we're talking about, and you know, we each bring our notes and we kind of go over the subjects. And for whatever the reason, he decides 10 minutes before the show today to tell me. Oh, you're back. Are you back?
Well, here's what I had to do. I've been having an issue. I think it's my computer or something. So I'm just going to I'm calling you from a production studio at work right now. So I'm using a different mic, different setup, all that stuff. So for those of you who enjoy hearing my 12-year-old voice, here I am. For those of you who don't, well, here I am. Real quick,
I was giving them a behind the scenes of how Blog Talk works if they're not familiar, and how you usually run the switchboard, and I usually call in, and we. Right, right. But what I think is,
studio's not working.
Okay, so yeah, as long as if this keeps happening throughout the show, just don't end the episode because I'll keep rolling with it like I have been.
Oh, of course.
So
you never end early. You never throw in the white flag unless the battle is lost, and the battle is never lost. So my
we're losing the battle right now.
Well, no, well, yeah, okay, but the war is still ongoing. here's my take on the Randall and Dunbar thing. And again, I apologize for any quality issues, but you got to do what you got to do sometimes. I don't think it's the end for Darren McFadden. Okay, I sort of go against your thought with this. I didn't think that Randall could lead based on his off the field, his mental capabilities. I didn't think that he could lead based on, you know, because of that stupid arrest that he had at that department store for the boxers and Glowing and all that. I don't feel that he mentally could lead this team. However, you know, guys like Emmitt Smith and Michael Murray, they were squeaky clean off the field. However, I don't feel like it's the end of Run DMC, Darren McFadden. I really don't. I feel like this is a strategy put in place by the upper management and the coaching staff to keep everybody healthy. I feel like the Dallas Cowboys coaching staff is sort of playing Risk here a little bit. What they're doing is they're going to start Randall because he's had, I mean, I know he's only been in the league a few years and it's a small sample size, but he's had less of an injury history. He knows the system. He's been in the system. He knows the playbook. And I've been watching clips of him from last season against Seattle, where he filled in for a couple plays when they gave Murray a breather. I was watching him in plays against Philly when DeMarco Murray went down with the hand injury. I was watching clips of the Redskins game. He's got that burst of speed that we've been talking about. He's got really good speed. I think a little bit better than Run DMC is the fact that he is able to take that contact. Randall has showed that he can spin off contact, he can lower the shoulder, he's not afraid to, you know, put a forearm up into a defender's chest and push him off. He's a tough runner despite his much smaller size. So Darren McFadden, who has had a huge laundry list of injuries, is now sort of going to be that secondary back. He's going to be that burst of speed guy, that transition back, that they're going to hit you with that 1-2 punch. I think that by keeping McFadden, but by keeping his touches limited and by, you know, not giving him 40 carries a game and 429 carries per season like Murray got, it's going to keep him a lot healthier. It's going to keep his stats up because he's going to have a lot more of an ability to have that burst of speed late in the game when defenders are tired. And I think that the Cowboys are going to keep all their running backs. I mean, I think they're going to keep this young rookie from Baylor. For some reason, his name is escaping me right now. But they're going to keep Randall, obviously, Dunbar, maybe even Ryan Williams to call up if need be. And I think Run DMC is going to sort of be what Randall was last year to this team, with Randall sort of having all the pressure on his shoulders. And I do feel like they can be successful with that because defenses, as you saw last season, Randall in the game in the fourth quarter or the late in the third quarter, on, you know, third and short plays when DeMarco Murray, everyone's like, oh, well, give Murray the ball, and he's the power guy. They put Randall in, and he'd bust off 15, you know, 10, 15, 20-yard runs because the defense is on tired legs and just can't keep up with a guy that has his flat-out speed who is also physical, you know. So I don't feel like it's a pack-it-up, one-and-done season in Dallas for McFadden. I just feel like this is a strategy that they want to go with. And if it doesn't work, we very well could see McFadden starting even early in the season. And it really all depends on how Randall comes out in that first game against the Giants and if they can keep him healthy through the preseason. You know, because we've seen Jason Witten go down in the preseason. We've seen Romo have a few issues in the preseason. We've seen guys drop like flies in the preseason, not necessarily Cowboys, but players in general the past couple of years. So if they can keep everybody healthy, I think this running back by committee thing could just work. I mean, maybe not, but I've been wrong before. I'm actually wrong most of the time. It could work.
Yeah, I mean, it could work. I get it. I think, what is it, Philly? Philly does it regularly, right? They had the McCoys, and then they had the Sproles, and now they're going to do, you know, Yeah, Matthews with Murray. So it's going to be Matthews, Murray, and Sproles. I mean, you want to talk about three guys that are going to have to take some major, major ego checks. I mean, that's brutal. Because Darren Sproles has never gotten his solo shot. Never. Even with the Saints. You know, he was looked at as just a great weapon. You know, he would return kicks. He would, he'd come in and just out of nowhere turn a screen pass into a touchdown. He just hasn't gotten his shot. Now, does that mean, now, didn't he, was also with the Chargers, I believe, before the Saints. So I don't even think, no, Sproles. Didn't Sproles start out with San Diego as well?
He may have, but he wasn't there long. I know Sproles better.
No, not long.
I know him better from his time in New Orleans, actually.
Oh yeah, obviously, because that's like where he made the most impact. I'm gonna look it up because I'm curious about that. But so back to what I was saying, I just feel like these guys are all guys that wanted to be the main guy. They wanted to be that number one option, and it just doesn't seem like it worked out. And I personally think this is the best scenario for Murray to stay healthy. Yeah, was drafted by the San Diego Chargers fourth round, Darren Sproles. But anyways, so I personally think this is the best case scenario for DeMarco Murray because we know his health, right, is a concern. The amount of carries he put up, we ran him into the ground. You'll hear everybody say it. So I think this might be just what the doc ordered, literally and figuratively, for Murray, because he's going to have two guys that want to be a part of the offense as much as possible. So maybe those, you know, that high 300 carries, I believe it was, right? 392? Is that what it was for Murray last year?
From Murray? No, 429.
429, okay. So are you sure it wasn't 429 total touches and then 392 carries? Because I'm pretty sure it was something
it's
like
possible.
That.
It's possible it could be that, yeah.
Okay, but regardless, think about it. This guy was running to the ground last year. He had a big-time hand injury. He's got a massive scar on the outside of his hand because he had to have that stuff repaired, and he still played in the playoffs a lot sooner than he should have. He didn't even let the thing heal. So I give the guy a lot of heart credit, and I just feel like we're going to miss him. He was young. I would have definitely paid him, but at the same time, I wouldn't have paid him AP money, so that's where the problem was. But you had to think they could have at least given him a respectable deal to the point where Philly wasn't doubling it to get his services. So, but whatever, tomatoes, tomatoes. I just feel like this is a great move for Murray to go to a committee backfield scenario because he could still be looked at as the alpha male but still have a lot of supporting, you know, actors in the movie, to say. And I just feel like the running back by committee thing is really going to work in Philly. I just don't know if it's going to work for us because at least Philly has a guy who did something recently to, you know what I mean, to feature back there. We don't have anybody that did anything recently. We got a guy who did something once and then has been, I don't know, I guess for lack of a better word, washed up in Darren McFadden in recent years. And then we got two unproven guys. So what would you rather have? Would you rather have the guy who's coming off of the number one stats the year before, and then two other feature guys who've had hell of seasons in the past, or would you rather have that team full of unproven commodities and the one guy who's pretty much considered a wash up and a bust?
I like consistency, but I also like change. I'm always open for new things, and I really want. You know, I really wanted Murray. Of course, I was probably just as upset as anybody else when he, you know, when he was gone, when he signed with Philly, and especially because he signed with Philly. But, you know, I got over it. I'm a big boy. You know, I grew up a little bit and got over it. And I now am sort of looking at this as, okay, well, I got to be optimistic with what we do have. And I got to be optimistic with the guys that, you know, that we have in our system. And if that's possible, great. I'm going to be happy for them. I'm going to be happy for Randall. I'm going to be happy for these guys, Darren McFadden especially, because of the, you know, tumultuous career that he's had already. But I will give him, you know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to say, okay, right now, sure, it might not work. But I'm always, always, always optimistic, and that's the only way I can be right now. I have to be, you know, I have to be optimistic about it. Looking at what we've got here, I don't know if you have anything else about this topic here, but I definitely think that that's the safe pick.
No, I'm good to go.
That is the safe pick by Dallas to put this running back by committee thing in and keep an injury-prone Darren McFadden on the sidelines for probably as long as possible and only put him in the game limited times when they need that burst until he proves himself a little bit that he can hold up. But we're talking about young guys. You mentioned Randall's young. You mentioned McFadden. Okay, he's still young, but he's getting up there. Murray was young. Talk about another young guy. First-round pick, Byron Jones out of Connecticut. It was coming out of Oxnard, California today when they were traveling out there for camp that he is going to start camp as a corner. But my question is, will he begin the season at corner? Can he beat out Carr or Skandrick or, you know, Corey White or any of them for a corner position? Or will he play safety when the real season begins? I definitely feel like we need him more at safety. I definitely feel like he fits better at safety. He's played some safety in college. I just don't think that it's absolutely necessary to throw him in at corner. I know you are not a very big Brandon Carr fan, but I just don't see him coming in and taking a corner job when we need safeties. We have corners. They may not be the absolute best corners, but we have two starting corners. What we don't have is a solid option at safety. So if we can get that, I think he starts safety, to be honest with you. I don't know what you feel, though.
So as far as Jones, so I agree with your overall outlook on this whole situation, right? You would think we have some solid corners already on the team. So if we already have solid corners on the team, what are the other weaknesses in the secondary? It's obviously the safety positions. So if you get this guy that you drafted who everybody claims can play everything, right? Why would you know what I mean? Why would you put him in a position that we already have at least average players at versus the positions that have maybe average at best? So you got to think as far as making your team as complete and as whole and as strong as possible, you would think, all right, the better idea of the two is you ride out Carr and Skandrick with Claiborne as a potential third, corner for maybe the nickel or whatever, and then we throw Jones at one of the safeties that we have problems with a lot, giving up. I mean, I brought this up a few episodes back. We usually average in the top five of like giving up the most long shot touchdowns and conversions in the league. Like we're at the bottom of the barrel. Like anybody can just, pick up 30-yard snags like it's nothing. Like Mr. Dipweed over there in Washington who calls himself the Cowboy Killer when realistically all he does is when all he does is do like 30 or 40-yard receptions like once or twice a game and then that's it, and it's just because he catches corners with their pants down and then safeties aren't even paying attention because the safeties suck so bad. All right, I'm sorry, Mr. Church. I'm sorry, what's the other guy's name? What are our other safeties back there?
Our safeties right now,
it's Church and
JJ Wilcox, but we also have
Wilcox. Who was the other one?
Keith.
That's right. So, I don't know, guys. I just, out of these three guys, like, really, like, they're not names. Yeah, McCray, he's the veteran, right? Yeah. So
he's more of a kick returner than anything else, really. He was brought in to replace Harris when he left,
So that's my point. If you can't even be remembered, I mean, really? Like, we got to get somebody out there. So, again, it goes back to the point. The strength is what? Okay, apparently it's corner. I disagree heavily because I think Brandon Carr sucks.
Okay,
whatever.
Apparently
we're going to start him because we decided to overpay him or to honor the contract.
He's better than Wilcox,
up the moron.
Church, Johnson, McCray. I mean, who else? If you take Carr out of the equation, you're sitting on money. Like you said, it's overpaid. You're sitting on money that you're not using. to take Brandon Carr
out. We should have traded him away for a third-round pick.
Church is our best player, and he had an Achilles injury, and he's still our best safety. Wilcox, unproven, physical, hard-hitter, boomstick kind of guy, can't cover his
own flow. I agree.
He's got the
Guinness
veteran.
Book of World Records for the broad jump, right? So that means he should be able to track down the deep ball and just mug people like no other. Put him back there. Put him back there at free safety. Let him do what he wants. I'm fine with it. I agree. You put your ducks in a row, right? Apparently, Carr is a starter in this league. Apparently. I disagree heavily, but whatever. We're paying him like a starter, so I guess we're just going to honor bad contracts. So you got Carr. I agree that Skandrick is our best corner. Hands down. I get it. He's been burnt a few times, but hey, who hasn't? The passing league now, it's very difficult to play pass coverage in this league nowadays. So whatever. Skandrick's our number one. Claiborne, are you going to stay healthy? Are you going to be on the field 16 games? Maybe more if we make a playoff run. Are you? I don't know. Are you, Darren McFadden? I don't know. We get a lot of question marks. But sticking with the defensive side of the ball, Claiborne, are you going to make it through? Because you've shown some great things, and then you've shown some bad things. And I need you to – this is a make-or-break year for you. I mean, wouldn't you agree? Wouldn't you say if Claiborne flops or goes down with a major injury this year, he's done? And he's off the team?
Well, yes and no. But, I mean, if...
Especially with this kid, with Jones. If Jones wants to be a corner versus a safety, like, this is all up to him, by the way. This is the Tebow, will you convert to another position to make the team? No, I won't. This is that scenario. If Byron Jones is unwilling to play safety, then this whole thing might go up in smoke. But from what I hear, he's an awesome team player. He'll play what he needs to play to benefit the team the most, so we don't have that problem. Right, but this is what it comes down to. I'm telling you right now, man, if he didn't get drafted first overall, he got drafted in the first round. You say that every time.
Our first overall is what I mean.
Yeah, so we took him with the first round, but my point is if Byron Jones, after this year, plays safety, and then he's like, yeah, man, this isn't for me, and Claiborne doesn't produce, you're really going to keep Byron Jones out of the starting lineup for Mo Claiborne? Come on. That's not going to happen. Because you got to think after this year, Brandon Carr's gone. Unless Carr has like an MVP season with an incredible amount of interceptions and he shuts down the best wide receivers, I know none of that is going to happen. His contract will be up. We're either going to sign him for dirt cheap and he's going to just fall down the depth chart because he is washed up, whether you admit it or not, or he's just not going to be on the team anymore. And then it'll be Skandrick and Jones, or Skandrick and Claiborne, and then Jones will stick with the safety spot. But like I said, man, if Jones lives up to any, even the fraction of the hype that he has with his athleticism, he's going to be a starting defender in this league, and he will make Pro Bowls.
You know, I got to agree with you in that sense. I really do. Real question, though.
Yeah, you said real question, though, and then nothing. You there? All right. Chris is gone again. So, Byron Jones, is he going to live up to the hype? I don't know.
But,
you know, okay, you went in and out there again. You were just gone again.
Pro Bowler down the road. I can't say he's going to be the rookie of the year because we haven't seen him take a real snap that matters yet. But I definitely feel that he is going to be as good as advertised. I definitely do. But if it were
Chris,
me, if
can
I
you hear me?
Right now, and he's willing
Chris,
to play wherever the heck he
Chris,
wants him to play.
Chris, can you hear me? Chris, can you hear me? No, you can't.
Yeah, he's got to play safe. There's absolutely no question.
Can you hear me?
Not only that, but you look at his ability. You mentioned his ability to jump through the roof. He's going to be able to go up and get those jump balls against guys like Julio Jones, against guys not necessarily Roddy White. He's more of a slant guy, but Julio Jones. Who else they play this season? But either way, he's gonna be able to play those big time guys. So he
did you hear me?
You know, yeah, of course.
Okay, well, you were going in and out, and I don't know, we got maybe jumped through the roof and a few other things, so I don't know.
Oh, no, I got you. What happened was, and I explained this, is I think at work the station only wants their microphones to work for their radio shows. I think somebody put the hijinks on me here, so I'm going to go yell at some people in a few minutes, but I'll just start doing this from home from now on. But no, I was saying he definitely needs to play safety. Definitely needs to sort of help out Wilcox, because Wilcox is that guy that you bring in the nickel package to lay the hit stick on somebody. Barry Church is going to be our starter. He's been our starter last year. He's started throughout the playoffs. He's a proven veteran who can cover back there. So if you get Byron Jones on one side, and let's say you put Byron Jones on Brandon Carr's side, right? Brandon Carr gets burned. As we've seen happen several times now, unfortunately, Brandon Carr gets burned, and he's got somebody that has that kind of physical ability that can jump, that can that is there to back him up. Because Skandrick doesn't necessarily need that kind of help. The only real time I've ever seen Skandrick get burned that I can remember off the top of my head, I'm sure it's happened before, but all I can remember off the top of my head is that crazy Odell Beckham catch. And I actually believe that was Carr, actually, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was Brandon Carr.
Yeah, that was Carr. So I can't remember Orlando Skandrick being...
I've seen Skandrick burnt a few times, but at least he realizes it, and then he gets back to the wide receiver. Like, I don't remember the exact guy, but I can picture the play and everything and all the body language right now. But he got burnt on like an inside out move, and then the guy went deep. The guy ultimately caught the lob pass, but at least freaking Skandrick like booked it back to him to make a tackle. Like, he was pissed he got beat and didn't just give up like Brandon Carr does.
Sure. Well, I'm saying, but off the top of my head, I don't remember a time. I'm sure, like you mentioned, there was a couple. I'm sure there's a couple if I go back and look at the tape, but I don't remember one that stood out to me. Carr, I can name a couple of times. So I would put Byron Jones on Brandon Carr's side, and I would let Skandrick do his thing. We just gave him the money. He's our breadwinner right now. Let him do his thing, and then you've got Barry Church back there to help him out if need be, and then put the guy who needs more help up there. And you know, I think he's going to have a good preseason. I actually don't think we're going to see much of Byron Jones in the preseason because we can't afford to lose a big-time player like that. And, you know, Dallas went 0-4 in the preseason last year. I don't know if anybody remembered this, but I was coming into it looking, you know, with dismal thoughts, thinking, oh, geez, this team, you know, there's nothing here. We went 0-4. And we went, I think, 2-2 the season before that or something. So I think we'll go 0-4 again in the preseason, because we're not really going to want to get these guys hurt. We're going to give them reps, sure. We're going to get Byron Jones in the game. We're going to obviously have Dez play maybe a snap, Romo play maybe the first quarter. You know, we're going to play our rookies. We're going to get Randy Gregory in there. Possibly we might see Chaz Green if he doesn't start the season on the PUP list. You know, we might see some of these guys, these younger guys. We're going to see a lot of Lyle Collins, I have a feeling, because he's trying to earn a starting spot in the preseason. But I don't think we're going to see any of our big-time veterans, I don't think we're going to see a lot of our big names and guys in positions that we need, like Byron Jones, because if he goes down, if he tears an ACL in the preseason, we're screwed again in the secondary. They're just going to throw the deep ball time and time again, because if there's one hole, there's one question mark on this team right now, it is that secondary. It's not the defense. The D-line is great. The linebacking core right now looks stable. It's that secondary. So I don't think that they're going to want to take any chances with getting this kid hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think that's the smart play. You know, I think everybody's realized that the preseason is more of a liability, and it's just not worth the, you know, the chances. I know a lot of guys like the Peytons of the world want to go out and use it to shake off rust. Well, yeah, I get it, man. You're playing a position where guys aren't even allowed to touch you, you know. So what, you're going to send the safeties and all these defensive players that are out there trying to rip each other's heads off out there to just kill each other on games that don't even matter? I mean, yeah, they matter to make the team, but, I mean, come on. No way. Not worth the risk. Not even remotely worth the risk. If you're even a second string guy, I'm not even putting you out there.
Oh, of course not. Yeah, I just, you know, and all these Cowboys fans are going to complain. They're going to say, oh, we went 0-4 in the preseason, and this team's going to suck, and maybe everybody's, you know, maybe everybody's right about this team regressing. No, it's going to be that we are, you know, it's going to be that we are being smart, and we are keeping our guys safe during the preseason, and that's the good play. I mean, that's the smart play. I think we both can genuinely agree on that we need to keep our big-time investment guys as healthy as possible for as long as possible. Now, you and I have been, I don't necessarily know how long you have been, when you started watching football, but I know for me, it was about maybe 8 years old. I was a little kid, didn't really know much about football, but, you know, and I watched the Cowboys-Steelers Super Bowl back in, I believe it was 96, the last time that we won one. And I could very easily, to this day, it pains me every day to say this, but I could very easily be a Steelers fan. I watched the game, and I chose a team. And Dallas won, and they had Troy Aikman, and they had Emmitt Smith, and they had Deion Sanders, and Michael Irvin, and Novacek, and all these guys that were, Moose Johnson, all these kind of big names. And the announcers kept talking about these names and these guys, and these are the ones. Well, I chose the Cowboys. And then the next year, Halloween, I was Troy Aikman. I had the helmet and everything. Now, of course, it was plastic, but I had the helmet and everything. And from that point forward, I had sort of followed this team. And then when I came up through the ranks, through middle school and high school, that was a tough year. A lot of we had like five and 11 seasons or something like that. Then we started to improve a little bit. And by the time I reached the end of high school, they were on the right track. I got to college, and boom, all of a sudden the Romo thing starts up. And well, Romo had been there, but he had had that fumble and the whole thing. But, you know, they had started to get players, they got T.O. You know, I was going back, and that's why I put this as one of the topics for today, because I think instead of doing stats and analysis and arguing about players, I think it might be nice for the fans of the show, who, by the way, right now we have about, I think our live listeners are approaching triple digits, which is great, despite all of our technology snafus today. We do appreciate you sticking with us a little bit. Dustin did a good job with running the show while I was trying to figure this out. 713-955-0359 if you want to weigh in. But the reason why I bring this up is because we were sort of talking about our best and worst memories as Cowboys fans. Now, when I was younger, obviously, we had a lot. Like I said, those 5-11 seasons, we had, Quincy Carter at quarterback, and we just had no running game. We had nothing. Just a terrible team. So I feel those memories, I can't give you those memories as vividly as I would want to, just because I was younger, and I was sort of, I try to put it out of my mind a little bit. I mean, I'm only 26. You know, I don't have these 50-year histories that guys have had watching their whole life. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you right now, what do you feel, before I go into mine, would be your best moment, the moment that made you just tingly inside, and your worst moment, the moment that made you feel like you wanted to jump off the top of AT&T Stadium? What were your best and worst moments to date as a diehard fan of the Dallas Cowboys?
Oh, man. You know, worst is easy, because worst is the catch that wasn't a catch that ruined probably Well, that's tied. The catch that wasn't a catch that ruined maybe a Cinderella season and a great, you know, Dallas Cowboys Super Bowl DVD. That would have been, this season would have been awesome, because you know, we were expected to go like four wins. You know, it was bad, and then out of nowhere, we just show up. I mean, you can't even write that in a movie. So that hurt. That hurt, especially when I hear that they rewrote the rule around this Dez catch, and they basically now the new rule says that it would have been a catch. But, you know, I mean, at some point you got to let it go. So
yeah, I suppose.
The other one that stings is that the loss to the Giants, the 13-3 year that the Giants went on and won the Super Bowl and beat the Patriots when they were undefeated. Because, you know, we had T.O. Romo was, I don't know, not as consistent, but, man, he was really taking the league by storm. I think it had been his, like, second or third year as a full-time starter, and he was really starting to, you know, just to kind of, like, get known and just show the world that he's capable of being the guy. And that I just think that game's really, I hated the way it ended, where he had to just throw the ball up to try to find T.O. in the end zone and ended up getting picked off to end the game. But best memories, I don't know, man. Like, how do you give a best memory when the last 10, 15 years has been a joke? You know, I mean, am I going to lie and sit here and tell you that my fondest memory is of when I was a little kid and I saw the Dallas Cowboys playing on Thanksgiving Day? It's like, no, because I was a little kid and I didn't even really understand what was going on. So I'm not going to BS everybody. You know, my true fandom, the passion, started when I was like 17, and I'm 28 now. So that dedication to the point where you've got every jersey and you're watching every game and you know every stat, I'm not going to lie and say that that happened when I was a kid, so I'm not going to take credit for it. So as far as best moments, I don't have one, because it nothing, we haven't done anything of any relevancy since I've been passionate about the team. Same thing with every other team that I follow and every other professional sport. I'm not a bandwagon guy, as much as people might disagree. I don't just find the team that wins the title and then jump on like a lot of people do. You know, I find teams and players that I like, or I like the logo, or I find the player and then I follow them. So, you know, with the Cowboys, like I said, yeah, I liked them as a kid and, you know, became passionate about them, you know, later on in life. But I don't, you know, what? I guess this year, because, you know, I'm looking at the TV and out of nowhere they're just winning, and then I showed up to work and, you know, all of a sudden they're on a 5-game win streak, and you're just like, whoa, this is great. You know, everybody's like talking smack about us at the beginning of the year. Where are you now? You know, and you're excited and you're pumped and you're like, all right, cool, we're back. You know, America's team. All right, we're back in the mix. All right, you know, are we going to the Super Bowl? Da da da. And then what happens? Then, you know, that BS happens. But what's the argument, man? Detroit, if we don't rob Detroit with that terrible pass interference call, maybe we didn't even get there. So I just can't. I don't have any good moments, Chris. I don't. I have nothing worth treasuring other than cool Tony Romo highlights. Like, if you go to the Overtime Sports News Network website and go to the Stars Align page, at the bottom, there's a video up. It says Romo Momentum. It's a 6-minute video of some of the greatest scrambling I have ever seen of any quarterback. Russell Wilson, Michael Vick, name Donovan McNabb, name an elusive quarterback. Romo beats the crap out of him. Watch this video. I'm begging you, people. And then tell me that Tony Romo is not the best scrambling quarterback in the NFL, because it's going to make you laugh to think about it. But when you watch the video and you've seen what he can do and what he's done, a lot of people haven't seen a lot of this footage. It blows you away. It's fake. So I guess that's my greatest and most honest, cherished memory recently, is just seeing Tony Romo tear it up, because I think he's great for our team and great for the sport. But other than
that, today, they ride in the same limo. Different salary structure. Romo, spin, throw, end zone, caught! Terrence Williams, touchdown, Cowboys! Tony Romo!
Yeah, I made J.J. Watt look stupid right there, yeah.
Yeah, which a lot of people can do. Okay, I understand what you're saying. I don't necessarily think that the catch, non-catch thing was up there for my worst moments, simply because
Devastated me, man. Devastated. Sitting on, I know the exact moment, and Wade was with me. All right, Wade was with me. We're watching the game together in the living room. Everybody left the house because everybody knew, don't even come near me when the Cowboys are on a playoff run. I got the same jersey I've been wearing all season on. I got everything in the living room set up the exact same way as it was every other game. And I'm in the same spot on the couch. I got the same everything, dude. Everything had to be exactly the same. All right, I'm not superstitious. I think I'm a little stitious. And I'm going to quote that to Michael Scott, not Eli Manning, because Eli Manning sucks. And that's in the book of Manning, just to give you a little heads up. He says that. And it's kind of funny, but it's really from The Office. But anyways, watching that, I was out of control to see fourth and two. No, it wasn't even that, dude. I was in disbelief. Fourth and two, that the ball got thrown like a lob. That I couldn't believe it. Fourth and two, we got the best running back of the year, and we're going to throw the ball. You want to talk about worst call of the century? I mean, holy crap, dude. You want to dog on Pete Carroll for that throw on the one-yard line? Jeez, I'm crow. Fourth and two? Really? You're gonna throw a deep ball, a 30-yard pass to Dez Bryant? The damn ball looked like it was sailing out of bounds, too, Chris. That's why I went from sitting to standing in 0.3 seconds. I was like, I jumped up, hands are on my head. I'm like, oh, my God. And then I see Dez just be like, nah, I'm good. Jump up, grab it, grown man style. And then he comes down with it. And then not only did he come down with it, but he's like, I'm ending this thing right now. And he goes and slams it into the end zone. And then dipshit McCarthy's like, oh, I guess I'm going to throw the flag and we'll see what happens. And sure as shit, season over. And it wasn't even there, actually. If the defense could have held him to a field goal, it still would have been a game. But the defense finally caved. Bend, not break. Well, it broke. And to me, that's the worst recent memory because I don't give a shit or a crap what anybody says. We beat Seattle in the regular season in Seattle with a Super Bowl on the line. I'll take that game in Seattle. I don't think it would have come down to a BS overtime catch. We would have beat Seattle, and we would have been in the Super Bowl.
True. I hear you. I mean, it was devastating to me, too. I was more jumping around after he caught it, and I was like, oh, my God, yeah, you know, like, oh, he caught it. I was, like, you know, pumping the fist and everything and the whole shebang. When he didn't catch it, and when I watched the replay over and over and over again, my feelings started to cover my stomach that they're going to overturn this. And all my buddies are like, no, that's a catch. He caught the ball. It was a touchdown or it was first down or whatever it is. And watching it, the feeling started to creep in more and more. No, they're going to overturn this thing. They're going to overturn this thing. And I just was saying it, but I didn't really believe it. I was just saying it because at the time when I saw
I just saw the picture you sent me. Chris just sent me the picture of the prediction.
We'll get into that in a minute. We will get into that in a minute. Right after this, we will get into that. That was your boys from First Take, and I'm going to put it up on the Stars Align page as well if you guys know what we're talking about in a minute here. But I was jumping around. I'm like, oh, my God, you know, but then when they overturned it, I just sat there with my hands on my head, and just for the last 4 minutes of the game, I couldn't believe it. But not my worst moment as a Cowboys fan. My worst moment as a Cowboys fan, hands down, has got to be the case. It's got to be the Tony Romo fumble in Seattle. And I say that because it was my freshman year of college. Okay, I was home for Christmas break, and you know, it was my freshman year, and I had all roommates. I lived in the athletic dorm in college for basketball, and I had all football players as a roommate of mine, and they were all Giants fans. Every single darn one of them Giants fans. So I get back to campus. Not only I'll tell you how it devastated me in a minute, but not only did that happen, but then I get to campus. And I just get Tony Romo chants constantly. I get people reenacting in the dorm hallways the fumble itself and the whole thing. And I had to live with it for months until the season ended.
Yeah, but you know why I don't like care about Romo? Because A, that was the year he came in and took over. So B, they shouldn't have even been there. And C, the balls, like, you want to talk about a change that was made to the entire NFL following that season. Kicking balls and the balls that you throw with, they made a giant change because everybody realized that the ball that they gave to him was a fresh ball out of the box, hadn't been warmed up, and the damn thing looked like it was glazed with, like, you know, like Vaseline, because those balls, when they're fresh out of the packaging, when they're fresh out of the packaging, they don't get warmed up or broken in any way, and those things are hard to freaking catch and put down to get ready for a kick. So everybody's dogging on Romo. If anybody ever wants to look at Tony Romo, the dude, he's a pretty big dude for a quarterback. He's got some big mitts. So I'm telling you right now that if Tony Romo bobbled that ball, Tom Brady would have bobbled that ball. Brett Favre would have bobbled that ball. It does not matter. That ball came in. The thing was slippery. And big deal, he bobbled it. The thing that people don't give him credit for is that he was almost in the end zone. He almost made it to the end zone on like a, oh crap, what the hell do I do play. He had the wherewithal to be like, all right, well, let's go, let's run. And, I mean, he just didn't make it. He just didn't make it.
But devastated me. I mean, I literally.
But that's the worst memory out of all the times we've been robbed in recent years. The worst memory is the year that we weren't even supposed to be there and something stupid like that happened. That is, like, the easiest thing for me to forget. It's so, like, unrelevant and, like, so minor on his legacy list because of all the greatness he's achieved over the recent years. Like, give me a break. He owns every Cowboys passing record now. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the game. Hell, ask your Apple iPhone, who was the best quarterback last year? You're going to be surprised who pops up. So it's like, give me a break. You know, that can't be the worst memory you've had of the Dallas Cowboys.
It's
because of harassment from your peers. That's all you're saying. You're saying you dogged on by your peers.
I think that was part of it. That was part of it. What happened with me, though, with that, too, was I had this feeling that was, you know, just a gut feeling in my gut. I couldn't sleep that night. I was on the phone with my girlfriend for the whole night. Just couldn't sleep. Was just devastated by it. And it's either that or, and I mentioned this because we have Bill on the line, so we didn't obviously piss him off too bad. But I mentioned this because during the playoffs, the 13-3 season you were talking about, I was in Ireland for it, actually, and I bribed the bartender who was from Boston to put the game on, thinking, all right, the Giants, we're playing the Giants, we're 13-3, they're the wild card, they ended up winning the Super Bowl that season, but Patrick Creighton, wide open. Like, I mean, you couldn't get more open, okay, and just decided to drop the ball. And we got a punt, and the Giants come down and score, and it just was that moment, too. I just had this sinking feeling in my gut. That because we were 13-3, we were favored by everybody to go to the Super Bowl that season, and with something so, and then Romo's interception in the end zone. I've had a lot of moments, none of which were as bad as Romo fumble, the Patrick Creighton drop, the Romo interception within the same game, and then I will put the Dez catch, non-catch within the top five or so, but not necessarily my top moment. I would say best moment, we will get to Bill here in a second, but best moment probably, I'd say, when we beat Seattle this year. That's really the only thing I've had to cheer about the last couple of seasons. When we beat Seattle in Seattle, and we beat them pretty good, 30-23, I was running around without a shirt on. I mean, I was just like a madman when we beat them. It was the happiest moment of my life. To date, I mean, I'm single, no kids, not married. It was the happiest moment of my life to date that I can remember. But Bill, what's going on, man?
What's up, guys? I think you guys should name this show Crybaby Monday.
Why's that?
I mean, with all these disappointments as a Cowboy fan, I mean, you guys are young, but, you know, you guys used to be pretty good. And
in the day, but we're talking about what we remember as when we were alive.
Yeah, well, I'm significantly older than you. And I remember back in 94 when we thought we had a pretty good team, and on a Monday night when Emmett goes for about 70-yard run and waves to Felipe Sparks waving to the end zone, so that was kind of hurtful.
That was okay. I remember the highlights. I watched the highlights of that game.
Yep. Yeah, it was like a 35-0 game, and then the game where Emmett really proved who he is when he played like the final three quarters with like one shoulder. And he was a stud without question. But we gotta get off this Dez catch, man. Come on.
I said we should move on from it.
I mean, you gotta move on. I mean, again, I'm sorry about my phone completely died last time, so I wasn't mad at you or nothing like that. It's all good in the discussion.
Oh, so he's
but,
calling
Aaron down. Rodgers was 11 for 11 in the fourth quarter. And you would have had to get a 2-point conversion to make sure him come back down the field where a field goal wouldn't beat you. A field goal would have tied. They would have went for two. And I was just enjoying your Cowboys misery. Even though I'm in New York here, most of my friends are Dallas Cowboy fans.
Oh, they're good people.
Well, they're just silly.
Oh,
I mean, we all grew up in, started football in the early 80s and whatnot, and that's when Tony Dorsett and all them were pretty good and whatnot, and until Danny White came along and he never won anything, and then they were still a class for a little while, and then, how Jimmy Johnson resurrected them from the dead, and we all know how that played out.
Oh, yes, well, he wins 2 Super Bowls in a row and gets fired. We all know how that worked. But
yeah, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, well,
sounds like the Cubs' goat, basically.
But yeah, well, it's Jerry Jones was at the time drunk with power and didn't want, because I believe it was Johnson was taking credit
time.
For building the team, and Jones wanted the credit
That's
for building
funny.
The team. But regardless, though, I real quick, Bill, we'll get your take on this. We do have another topic to go on to, and we've wasted a lot of time with technology issues and complaining about bad memories, but. Question is here, I put it up on our Stars Align page, and I just sent this over to Dustin. First Take, I don't know if you watch First Take, Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless.
I don't watch that show. That's scripted crap.
Okay, well, Skip Bayless has been our best advocate on television. Stephen A. Smith really kind of goes against us. He's a Giants fan. He's a New Yorker. First Take just put up the NFL predictions, according to USA Today, which is a credible source, credible magazine. They predicted that the Eagles to win a division just like you did, 11-5. Okay, 11-5. But then they said the Washington Redskins will be 7-9, which I don't see how that will happen. The New York Giants 6-10. They could be a little better, a little worse, but the Giants 6-10. Then they have the Dallas Cowboys at 3-13, finishing last in a division.
Are you serious?
That's why I'll send it to you in email. Give me your email. Now I'll show you. I got
Chris,
it. Chris, go on
sorry.
Our page.
Let me tell you right now. Chris is an idiot. That was a picture that was released before this past season. It's not for this coming season. Yes, it was.
Oh,
read
no,
the
really?
Freaking thing. It says 2014 predictions.
Oh,
Chris is a moron.
No.
I'm sorry about
that. That's garbage.
I still think it's funny though because, like I said earlier in the show. You want to tell me that last year wasn't a Cinderella story that would have been perfect for a championship DVD? Everybody freaking picked the Cowboys to win 3 games, and we went 12-4, and we beat the best team in the league at home when no one else could do that. So, like, the script was written. We just couldn't capitalize. That's all that happened. I still appreciate that picture, though, because it's funny. If you look at the picture, it says they picked us. They go 3-13. So it's like you want to talk about a rags to riches story? Look at the Dallas Cowboys last year.
True.
It's really hard to go call the Cowboys any kind of like rags to riches story because, they're the richest franchise in the history in pro sports
Richard, yeah,
today
they are
in
the
world.
They're over the Yankees. Yeah, they are
yeah,
the richest in sports.
Yeah, it's crazy. But
I meant more along the lines of their record. Like, everybody thought they were going to be dog crap, and they came out, and they actually were surprisingly good. That was my point.
Agreed.
Oh, and again, my apologies. I've been so flustered with this technology issue that I didn't even see the 2014. It was cut off on my screen. So for all of you who were just like, what is this? I'm going to kill Skip Bayless. It was last year. So
did you see as an equally ridiculous note, there was some publication that put out, it might have been Harvard, actually. They put out a percentage chance of making the playoffs and whatnot. The third highest team this year with the best chance to make the playoffs in all of football is the Miami Dolphins. Yeah, they had them in making the playoffs at nearly 70%, which I mean, I don't see.
That's not a bet.
I wouldn't call them the third best chance to make the playoffs in all football, that's for sure.
I mean, especially in the division with the Patriots and now the better Bills. Like, really?
They
played in the South, or even in the Central, I could see it. Even in the West, I could see it because Denver's going downhill, but definitely not in that division that they're in.
No, no way. I mean, there's just too much tough defense. I mean, there's a couple bad quarterbacks in the division, but there's a lot of defense being played in the AFC East.
But they have one of them. They have one of them. That's the funny part. Tannehill's not that great. You know what I mean?
I think he's a little bit better than he gets credit for, but he's, you know, I think with the NFL quarterbacks, and this, you know, kind of led to our disagreement last time, I think there's so many quarterbacks, you know, if you tier the quarterbacks, and, you know, we can tier them and we can discuss that all day long. But when you get into that, like, ranking the quarterbacks and you get to number eight, whoever you might put there, arguably, let's say Tony Romo. Just because I threw a name out there and you guys are Cowboys fans. But that tier between eight and, like, 15 or 16, maybe even a little deeper, it's really not – none of the guys really, you know, separate themselves from each other. I mean, there's not a lot of great quarterback play in the league right now. There's a lot of very good quarterback play in the league. And it just, once you get past that 18 or 19, whatever that cutoff is, it's brutal.
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah, for sure. Thank you for great contribution from a Giants fan. We always love when a Giants fan calls our show. It's uplifting because usually Giants fans, at least the ones that I know around here that I get into heated debates with at the bar, are calling up and the Cowgirls.
Hey, make
Tony
sure
Romo sucks and
you get a
blah, blah, blah,
Bill.
Blah, blah,
I want
blah.
You to check out the mother company that just added us too. It's called the Overtime Sports News Network, and the website is theotsnn.com. It's got like everything on there, from sports to football to soccer. So check it out. I mean, the company's crazy, and it's gonna blow up soon here. So we definitely want to we want you to check that out. We have our own page on there.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
It's a slower process. I mean, we're getting stuff added every day, columns, articles. We both write stuff for college football, for NFL. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be covering during the NFL season, doing a game recap, predictions for each week, as well as divisions and stuff. So, yeah, go ahead and check that out. And, feel free to call anytime, man.
If you need some help with that, maybe you need a contributor or something like that, I would be happy to help out the cause if you need
perhaps,
me. So.
Perhaps a Giants beat writer or something. We'll figure it out.
All right, man. Good talking to you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you as well. Thank you. So Bill, calling up from Long Island, always a great call with Bill. He's animated. He's not one of those Giants fans with egos who, just whatever excuses they have. Oh, we have two rings and you guys suck. So that's always good to be able to have an intelligent sports discussion with a Giants fan. I think it's going to be fun once the season starts, having a little bit of a competitive rivalry with him. And again, like we told Bill, check out the OTSNN.com, OvertimeSportsNewsNetwork.com. Everything you need all in one place, from college to UFC to boxing to freaking baseball, soccer, whatever you want, it's right there. And if you don't see it there, feel free to get in touch with us and we will put it there. But this is going to take the internet sports world over pretty soon. And 713-955-0359. I think Bill's got our number on speed dial at this point, but that's great. The last topic we had for the day, Dustin, and this was something that I was thinking about a little bit last night, and that's why I brought it up in the meeting this morning. Will this Dallas Cowboys offensive line go through a quote-unquote sophomore slump? Now, I know that they're not all second-year players coming up. We actually have a couple of veterans on this roster, but when I say sophomore slump, I mean they had that season last season that was so crazy, and now a lot of people are picking them to regress. A lot of people are picking them to sort of fall off a little bit and say, oh, well, they're not as good as everyone thinks. Do you feel like this offensive line continues their dominance and boosts the career of Joseph Randall and Darren McFadden? Well, reinvigorates McFadden's career, but boosts Randall's career, helps out Romo, helps out Witten, and is just as dominant as they were last year? Or do you think that they're still good, but there's a bit of a fall off from last year? I mean, can they really keep up the same kind of production?
I personally think they can. And the reason why is because it's a by committee thing, right? So an offensive line seems to, I guess, run in unison, right? So if you got a solid left tackle, but your right tackle sucks and your center sucks, you might not be able to keep that quarterback up. But you got a solid left tackle, a solid right tackle. Your center is incredible. You just drafted a guard who apparently is supposed to be like one of the best guards in the entire league, let alone in the conference. Zach Martin, I mean, everybody looks at him like he is just like this incredible phenom at the guard position. And I guess he's living up to the hype.
If you can believe that,
right.
He got booed on draft day.
Right, but they were saying that was literally the pick that might have just turned this franchise around, because instead of going with hype and big names, they decided to go, with something to keep Romo off his back. But, I mean, whatever. I guess that'll be seen in the future. Like I said, if this offensive line can keep Romo from being sacked single digits, low single digits, that's all-time great. But if they can't, and they can still produce a top running back, how great are they really? So, do they have a sophomore slump? I mean, you would have to say a sophomore slump is a line of all rookies, and then they go in. But if you want to look at it as they produced for the first time ever, so they were rookies in regards of they showed up for the first
half
time ever. Right. So, well, Frederick was he's not a rookie. Smith is not a rookie. The other guard, Bernardo, wasn't a rookie. Doug Free certainly wasn't a rookie.
But half the line was, because they were good before last. They just got better, but they
right,
were
right,
good
right.
before last
season. So let's just pretend that last year was their rookie year, meaning that was their best first year. Will they have a sophomore slump? I don't think so, because all they did was add to it, right? They picked up that Lyle Collins kid who everybody was saying should have been a top 10 pick, not a top 10 lineman. They were saying this kid was going to go in the top 10, but because of some crap that went down with his girlfriend or somebody who got murdered, his ex-girlfriend, he just happened to be involved in the process, wasn't convicted, wasn't potentially a suspect. His name was just linked to it, and people are so freaking frazzled nowadays. If your name is linked to anything with the law, the guy got a raw deal. And, man, I felt bad for him on draft night. I felt bad for him. They did an interview with his mom, and it was just so unfair to the kid. And look who Jerry looks like. He looks like Mr. Captain America comes in and saves the day. He knows he stole this kid. You know what I mean? But he gets to look like the man because he signed him to a bare minimum deal. I mean, he's getting paid like $1.5 million over like 3 or 4 years. I mean, that is a robbery of a top 10 pick if you ask me. But, yeah, what the hell, man? I mean, we just added a guy who could potentially fill in for that other guard or potentially take over for Doug Free. Yeah, who could potentially fill in for Doug Free if he goes down with Collins. So I just feel like when you inject youth into something that's already firing on all cylinders, but you don't allow the youth to take over and make mistakes, I got to say that they're going to just continue with consistency. I think the best thing in the world to hear was Travis Frederick shoot down the fact that they're the best offensive line ever and that they'll even get there. He was humble. He's like, we don't want that. We don't want to hear it. We got a lot to learn from. We let up a lot more sacks than we should have. We got a lot of work to do. And that's what I want to hear out of a leader of the O-line. I want to hear we got a lot of work to do. We want to be that. We will get there, but it's not yet. And that to me is huge. He's humble. He's into it. He seems like he's like the guy. He's the captain of that group. He's the one who speaks for him. He's the center. And I don't see a sophomore slump, Chris. I just don't. I don't think so. If a sophomore slump is based on the running back production, then, man, they're going to get a raw deal, because I don't think the running back production is going to be anything even close to DeMarco Murray last year. But if we look at it correctly, and we say, you know, we take into account sacks, we take into account every time Romo's hit, we take into account, you know, running, and then I don't know, like whatever else you judge the O-line by, maybe check downs and pancake blocking and stuff like that. We gotta make sure we take everything into the correct amount of accountability. We can't just say, well, did they have another running back who led the league in rushing? Because like I said, maybe these guys aren't as talented as Murray is. Maybe Murray didn't get the credit he deserved for being a talent. You know, we're going to find out this year, but you can't judge the O-line based on just the running back production. It's got to be the whole package.
Yeah, true. And, I mean, I also feel that they just have – sometimes I feel like they have too much depth. I mean, I'm looking at guys on this roster here. I got the whole roster as of right now. I know training camp hasn't started, but the roster as of right now printed out in front of me. And, I mean, I'm looking at this O-line. Okay, obviously you've got your main guy. You've got Tyrone Smith, Travis Fredericks, Zach Martin, and then you've got Doug Free, if he can stay healthy. But also Ronald Leary. Now, Ronald Leary actually doesn't get a lot. He really doesn't get a lot of credit. He's a better guard than a lot of people think. I was watching some tape on him, and the dude opened a whole lot of holes. If you look at where Murray ran last year, he ran mostly behind that left guard line, behind Ronald Leary. And as a left guard, you're right now, I mean, the left tackle is the most important position on the O-line. Left guard is right up there, too. And for him to get a left guard spot and not move him over to right guard is big time. I think it should be flip-flop, personally. I think Zach Martin should be there, but Leary's held his own. Lyle Collins, I don't necessarily feel Collins is going to take Leary's spot because Leary has been productive. He is a veteran. He's the oldest guy. Well, besides, actually, he might be the oldest guy on the offensive line right now. So, he's 26. I mean, you look at Tyrone Smith, and Tyrone Smith is only, 24. So he is the oldest guy besides Doug Free on that roster, Doug Free being 31. Free has had some issues with that foot. I think Free this season is the one who could possibly lose his starting spot to Collins. Now, Collins is a guard. He's a guard at heart. He says that he can certainly move over to tackle if they need him to. But I think that if you're able to put him in at tackle, you've got a ridiculous line. And then if you want to move, I know Zach Martin played a little bit of tackle as well. If you maybe move Martin out to free spot and put Collins in the right guard spot, that will help out a little bit of that run game as well. I mean, our offensive line is just so deep. I mean, you've got Mackenzie Bernardou, who's in there, who's very good as well. Bernardou, he's in his eighth season out of Bentley, Division III school. You know, I'm looking at Darian Weems is able to hold his own. Lawrence Gibson's a rookie. Chaz Green, don't forget about him. We took him third in our draft this year. And, you know, he might start on the injured list, but he's proven and very good and showing good things at camp. So, I mean, last year, if we had an injury, thank God we didn't. But last year we had an injury on the O-line, I was sweating bullets. Oh, my God, we can't have one of these guys get injured. We don't have anybody. Now, if one of these guys goes down, I'm just as confident as anybody else for one of these backups to come in and at least be relatively successful. And, you know, that's a good feeling to finally be able to be optimistic about this team and about arguably our most solid unit, where I have no worries at all in this offensive line, zero. All of my worries are coming, obviously, from the secondary and what this run game is going to do. But do I feel that they are going to have a sophomore slump? I mean, no, but I don't feel like they're going to, yeah, I mean, they're going to give up sacks. You know, it happens. It happens with everybody. I mean, I feel like they're going to get a raw deal in some senses because when they're going to play teams that have aggressive defenses, like Tampa Bay, I know they don't have a lot of talent, but they're aggressive. Like Washington, to give you an example, they're going to be playing Buffalo, playing the Jets, who have a great D, who sometimes are going to be sending more guys than they can block. I mean, you watched that Washington game last year that we lost 20-17, and they were sending 8 and 9 guys every time. Now, if Romo was able to get the ball off, it probably was a touchdown on every pass because there was nobody back there. But they were sending 8, 9 guys, and we just overwhelmed this line. And if that happens, unfortunately, because they're the Dallas Cowboys and they're always in the spotlight and they're always a spectacle, they're going to get that bad press. But, you know, people are going to say, oh, well, look what they did. Romo got sacked. Or, look, their offense, you know, the running game is not great. Or, oh, look at this, look at that. But people don't seem to realize that, you know, my buddy, Mark, who called in a couple shows ago, is a defensive coordinator, and he's for a successful Division III program. And even if that's Division III, he even says there's a lot to the defense that you can do to be successful. And there are different schemes and different packages that you can run that are, you know, meant to confuse and meant to overwhelm. And if you can get to a quarterback before, especially a mobile quarterback like Romo, if you can get to a guy like that before he can even breathe, you've got a very good chance of taking him down, forcing a sack, you know, forcing a fumble, whatever, possibly even injuring the dude. Not that that's what they're going for, but you know what I mean. So I think this line is never going to be looked at as the best ever, because Romo is going to get sacked every once in a while. The run game is going to get stuffed behind the line, and there are going to be times that, you know, Washington is going to send nine guys and Romo's going to get hit, and the next day everyone's going to be pointing out just that play, whether we win the game or not. So just that, oh, well, look at this offensive line. They didn't block properly, blah, 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 blah. Completely not understanding the dynamics of football and how it works. So do I feel like they have a sophomore slump? Statistically, maybe. But talent-wise and success-wise of the full team, no. I feel like this team is a key part to us potentially making a Super Bowl run this year. But if they allow 5, 6, 7 sacks, it's going to happen. I mean, it's going to happen. The only reason Brady has such low sack numbers in the regular season, with an offensive line that isn't even as good as ours, I don't feel, he has such low sack numbers in the regular season because he gets the ball off so quick. And if the play is dead, he throws it away. If the play is dead, he gets rid of the football, okay, on to the next one. Romo always is trying to extend plays, always trying to...
But don't you think that that's more Beasley? Like, let's get Beasley involved more so now maybe Romo gets the ball out faster? Because Beasley apparently is showing up now, right? Everybody can say he's one of the best slot receivers in the game.
Yeah, I think he could possibly be one of the best in the game. I mean, I know a lot of people.
So why shouldn't it be? Why shouldn't it be? Is Dez open? No. Is Williams open? No. All right, throw it to Beasley. You know what I mean? Like, what shouldn't his progressions be that? Like, shouldn't every Beasley play be like a fake out and come in slant so that way, or like he's gonna run flat to whichever direction Romo runs, so he always has a bailout.
Well, of course they should, but if they're bringing nine guys like Washington was in that game, he might not have time.
Beasley was
to go through a third progression.
Yes. Beasley will shake a guy, will shake the defender and be open. If they're bringing a blitz, are you kidding me? That's probably the easiest throw he'll be able to throw to Beasley, is if they're throwing an all-out blitz at us and then Beasley's got one-on-one coverage. Are you kidding me? There's not a single corner that is going to be able to stop a quick slant in nowadays NFL, and I don't care who's running the slant. Like, come on.
I think that the best option and an all-out blitz like that would probably be a check down to a running back. We do have three very good running backs who can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Or Witten.
Well, yeah, or Witten, sure. Yeah, Witten's usually the security blanket, but a lot of the times Witten's slow. I mean, yeah, he might be open, but if we need a first down, chances are he might not be able to get to the line in time. If bringing nine guys, you know, who knows? But, you know, I think that we'll be all right. I think that this line will still be successful. Like I said, I'm fully confident in this line and everything. But, you know, I just feel like this team, I almost feel bad being optimistic. I almost feel bad saying all the good things about this team, because all we've been talking about the past couple of years is, oh, well, I don't know, man. I know our defense isn't rough, and I don't know what the run game is.
I know,
like,
and all it takes is one good season out of nowhere, and now they got to go to the Super Bowl, otherwise it's a bust. It sucks.
Yeah, it's like with Jacob, you know.
Yeah.
That's just how I feel about it, but I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic for sure.
Yeah, it's America's team. I guess it comes with the territory.
America, of course. So, recapping, you know, we want to thank Bill again for the call. Bill from Long Island, a Giants fan. We will have the audio completely fixed next week. I don't know what that was all about, but it was really frustrating. But again, we will have everything ready to go for you next week. Hell, we'll have everything ready to go by Wednesday, for Wednesday's for Wade. So I don't know what happened today, but we are human, and technology has a mind of its own, so bear with us there. And again, I'm looking at the live listener numbers, and you guys are great. Chat box is blowing up, so I didn't get to any of your questions today. I've been trying to figure out how to stay on air. So we'll get to those. I will answer them via email to you guys if you leave your email boxes. Again, you know the number, 713-955-0359. You know, give us shouts. Also, make sure you check out the OTSNN.com, Overtime Sports News Network, brought to you by WordPress. They are absolutely fantastic. They've been supportive as heck, and we are really trying to take the internet world over when it comes to sports. Talked a little bit about the Cowboy running game. Well, at least I tried to anyway. I was cut off for half of it, but talked about that. Talked about Byron Jones, where he should be, where he should play. Talked a little bit about some of our dismal memories as Cowboys fans. Didn't get a chance to get to the good ones, but hey, maybe that's for another time. And we talked about a possible slump, a possible regression of this offensive line. Anything that we talked about on the show today, if you want to give us your questions, comments, opinions, concerns, whatever it may be, feel free to hit us up on any one of our social media networks. Also at theovertimesnn@gmail.com with any of your questions that you may have. And, I mean, that's pretty much all it is. Right now I've got to get off air, and I've got to do some research, and I've got to find out where in the heck Wade is. So that we have to make sure he has cell phone reception for Wednesday if he's in Mexico or something. Who the heck knows? I do want to say I am a little disappointed with the Colin Cowherd firing when he was one of my favorites. Hopefully everything works out great with Fox. Colin, you're my boy. I don't care what anyone says. Dustin and Chris, every week, Overtime Sports News Network. And last thing, I'm going to end on this note. I think everybody, all of our fans, I believe, have eyes anyway.
I mean, anybody with eyes knows that was a catch.
I think that they do. I think anybody has to know that. Just in case you don't know, though.
Are you kidding me? That was a catch!
You did one hell of a job, and the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
Yeah! We'll see you Wednesday, guys. Have a good week.
Thank you for listening to Stars. That's not what your country can do for you.